It is Locked On Jazz for the 31st of July. The Jazz play, the Jazz win, and we break down a basketball game. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. For the first time since like March 9th or 10th, we get to break down a actual basketball game. I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan. Thank you very much for tuning into the program. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, and I hope you subscribe on iTunes and give us nice reviews. Or if you want to do it on Spotify and give us a follow, we greatly appreciate it. We being me, myself, and I. Oh, how fun was that last night? The Jazz played basketball, and we got to watch, and we got to cheer, and we got to go down to the wire, and we got to go crazy late and worry about various big plays and moments and forget all other things that are taking place and just awesomeness, just completely great awesomeness to see them play and be out there and have fun. Thanks so much for just your energy you gave me. I got to be honest, I don't want to get into it too much, but I just wasn't like, I wasn't engaged. I wasn't back. I was trying, and I had a phone call with one of my closest friends. I've actually referenced her before. She's actually been battling cancer for 3 years now, and she just kind of set me straight, and your energy set me straight, and it was nice to be back calling a game, and hopefully it was great for you to be back cheering and being after it. So let's dig in. It's a good win. It's really a good win. It's hard to tell exactly what you need to do in the bubble, but if you kind of set the goal as not being the seventh seed, because you don't want to play the Lakers or Clippers. I could make a pretty good argument that actually I want the Clippers now. Like, if you're trying to get to the Western Conference Finals and that's your goal, or if your goal is the second round, you don't want the Clippers. If your goal is to get to the Western Conference Finals, then I would actually want the Clippers in the first round. That's when they're going to be most vulnerable, with just Lou Williams coming off his stuff and Montrezl Harrell not being back and them not having a rhythm. It's still a long way away, but it's clear watching them last night, they're great, but that would be their rhythm. And they're not a terrible matchup for us because they keep Rudy near the rim. Nonetheless, you know, if you look at it, we come into this thing and we're now 3 games ahead of the Mavericks. So we were 2.5 games ahead of the Mavericks at 40. They're 40-27. We are 41-23. And, you know, if you're 2.5 games, it means they have to get 3 games better than you. So if you win 3, they've got to go, they got to be 6-2. While nobody else, you know, does anything worse, right? So my feeling is if we could get 3, we have a pretty good chance of not being 7th. If we got 4, they have to go 7-1. And then again, if we get 4, it means that everybody else has to go 6-2 or so. So I feel like if we, you know, if we can get 3 or 4 wins here, then we avoid the 7th seed and you, the seeding games are a success. So last night was a pretty mammoth one, particularly, you know, if you look at the schedule, the Spurs twice, we're not sure what their engagement level will be there. There's some tough ones in there. Oklahoma City will probably be a real tough one to handle coming up here. But in the other sense that you've got one. So that's big. And I think bigger in the sense we were really outplayed for 39 of the 48 minutes. But what it got down to is the core fundamental of who the Jazz know that they are, believe that they are, understand what they're trying to do as a team. And we saw that late, that they, well, New Orleans just kind of plays this up and down transition style where they're, you know, they're a beast. They've got incredible talent and incredible players. But when it gets right down to it and it got to, you know, fourth quarter play by play or possession by possession, They don't know exactly what they're doing and where they're going. And we know exactly what we're trying to do and what we're doing. And we saw that evidently late. And that's what swung the game. And we go to timeout with 6:22 left. The Jazz are down 96-89. That game should be over. And instead, you know, somehow the Jazz are able to work their way back through that. Clarkson hit a big three right out of the timeout. Quinn was unbelievable yesterday out of timeouts. The Jazz success rate out of timeouts yesterday was through the roof. And then, you know, Clarkson with a gorgeous give to Rudy on a beautiful play, understanding how they are. Holiday turns it over. And now the Jazz suddenly, you know, Ingram hits one of two free throws, I think it was, or maybe it was a technical free throw. Royce gets a great layup from Conley. Donovan buries a shot. Next thing you know, we've got the lead by the 409 mark. And then we just knew how to play. And they did. And frankly, they're 28th in the league in offense in the clutch. They're 28th in the league defensively in the clutch. They're 29th overall in the clutch. They're brilliantly talented. When you prep the Pelicans, you feel like you're prepping a team that's 40-12. They have so much skill and they just don't win. And it's because we know who we are as a team, and I'm not sure if they do. We'll walk through those later in the show today. We're going to walk through those kind of key moments a little bit more in depth. I thought there was some cool stuff to watch and some essence of why we're good. So I don't want to, you know, go. I'm going to go third segment today. I'm going to go play by play a little bit on some of that. I would say this. I thought we left a lot of opportunities on the board, though, quite honestly. You know, if you look at that fourth quarter, you've got Mike Conley had an open you're not going to be perfect on every possession, but Mike Conley has a wide open three that felt pretty big at the time that doesn't go. Rudy Gobert makes a pretty questionable play. He gets the rebound for as great as he was. Rudy gets the rebound in a 102-102 game with 125 left and decides to bring the ball up the floor and turns it over. I mean, we're up 102-99. Donovan misses a layup in the fast break, which, I mean, it happens, but it did feel like that was a pretty big opportunity to go up five. Then Redick hits the three. Conley gets a wide open three to answer and we miss it. And then Rudy turns it over. And luckily Brandon Ingram does not very clutch down the stretch and hasn't been this year. He's great against us in a big game, but not in the final minutes. And he missed a three. And then late in the game, boy, when he did not give the ball to J.J. Redick, woo, dog, that one was right there. Woo, doggy. That is a tough call. But despite that, you know, the fact that we still prevailed runs to that we know who we are and how to play and what we're trying to get done inside of a game. And I think that that was probably the most obvious part about that game to me, is that they have their style and frankly doesn't come out to wins. And we just kept powering through the game, understanding who we are and how to play, and eventually started to make the plays. The other ones we'll get into is Rudy was amazing. I mean, Rudy really was truly remarkable. We'll touch on that when we continue. Jazz get their first win, a two-pointer over the Pelicans. Boy, those have been some great games this year. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai at 4646 South State Street, also located in Logan and in Linden. I'm driving the Sonata right now. As I think I've shared with you, I get it like for about fourth. It's like getting close. I don't want to tell them. I love that car. It's so great. Drives itself. Great look. Pretty buzzy. Quick. Around, great price, super space. Like, we threw two pairs of golf clubs and push carts in it the other day in the trunk with plenty of space. I love that car, and I'm gonna have to find a way to not turn it in. The SUV lineup is terrific. The little Kona zips around for you. The Tucson and the Santa Fe, and then the big Palisade. A great SUV lineup. If you're looking for a car right now, put Hyundai on the list. At least check out what you can get for the dollar with Hyundai compared to other places. It's pretty remarkable. Do it at 4646 South State Street, also in Logan and in Linden. And feel free to email me first at dlock09@gmail.com. I'll get you set up with a VIP meeting. The Pelicans are a fast break, get out and run, early hitting team. We talked about in the broadcast last night, and we talked about it yesterday on the program. That's why hopefully you listen to Locked On Jazz. When they, in the final 12 seconds of the shot clock, they're below, their effective field goal percentage is below 50%, but they take about 62% of their shots in the front half of the shot clock. So they, You know, they're going to try to get out. They want to run. That's who they are. That's how they play. And we did a really good job of slowing them down to the best of our ability, considering, and maybe more than anything else, considering the fact that the Jazz had a stretch in that game in which they didn't have a field goal for over 8 minutes, right? If you remember that, the Jazz went from the 6:55 mark to about the 10-minute mark, 6:55 mark of the first quarter to about the 10-minute mark of the last quarter, or the second quarter, without a field goal. Well, at some point, these guys are running down your throat. Like, they're coming at you at a pretty high level. Here's the shot clock data, though, that the Jazz were able to do to the Pelicans last night. So the Pelicans do not play deep into shot clocks, and the Jazz got them to take 8 shots in the final 4 seconds of a shot clock last night. They were 2 of 8. They don't usually, from 4 to 7, they don't like to play. The Jazz got the Pelicans actually were okay. They were 5 of 8 in that setting, which is a little surprising. And then the big one is 7 to 15. That means that their initial break didn't work. They get a little amped up a little bit. And there it is. They went 19 of 43 with an effective field goal percentage of 48.8% in that setting. 46% of their possessions were in that realm of 7 to 15 on the shot clock. That's what you had to do yesterday, was to keep the Pelicans out of those settings and forcing them in out of their fast break settings and have them use, which they did last night, they used 63% of their possessions from 7 to 15 on the clock. Now, that's very different for them. And that's the Jazz doing their work. And why it's so important, I'll get to in a second, but let me contrast it just so you understand the difference between, you know, the Pelicans regularly are use the fourth fewest amount of possessions, 0 to 4, in the clock. That's just not a place that they like to get to. They're not comfortable with it. They don't have those kind of players, and it's why they're not good late in games either. Because when you suddenly get them late in a game, and they don't have the guys that go make those plays, and it's why Brandon Ingram's numbers are so bad in that circumstance. So the Jazz really were able to get the Pelicans into a game that they're not particularly comfortable, making them play 63% of their possessions in that middle ground of the shot clock. They're regularly a little less, you know, they're regularly in the 50s. Then part two is we have Rudy Gobert. And so when the Pelicans got into that half court sets and didn't get to play in transition, they averaged 73 points per 100 possessions. That is in the fourth percentile. The Jazz defense last night in the half court was in the 96th percentile of all half court defensive performances this season. And then, so that's the essence of how they won that game last night. How do you win when you're shooting as badly as the Jazz did from 3? 8 of 33. How do you win when you go 9 minutes without a field goal? You know, they didn't do a great job of keeping him totally out of transition. It wasn't like, and when the Pelicans were in transition, they were great. We were terrible. Holy smokes. We try to run. We are the worst. Like, I'm over exaggerating. This is totally the fan of me. Like, we're just not a good transition team. Like, I don't know what it is. Last night, our points per transition were 62.5. It's like one of the worst single performances by a team in transition all year. I don't know why we don't space it right. I don't know. Like, it seems fundamental, but running is actually a skill. So nonetheless, we defensively, first we kept them, we did a great job as a group team to keep them out of the fast breaks. A lot of it's going to the free throw line too. We had a lot of free throw attempts. That's important. Two, once we got in the half court, we were brilliant, and that's because of Rudy. They were 15 of 30 at the rim last night. League average is like 65%. And they were 50% at the rim last night, 15 of 30, because Rudy just absolutely dominated the game around the rim, which is awesome. Forced them into 33 mid-range shots. So Like, I talk about this all the time. Like, I haven't forgotten my belief in the importance of shot distribution. But last night, we forced 34% of their shots were mid-range shots. That they took 27%. I could argue that that, by definition, won the game last night. Their expected field goal percentage compared to what our expected field goal percentage was is in some ways completely the difference in last night's game. That where we shot, if you look at QSQ, which is expected field goal percentage based on where your shots were, ours was 55 for this second spectrum data. Our field goal percentage was 55%. The Pelicans was 50. So just alone on not how you shot or what you shot, but where you forced shots, and that's what Rudy does. That's what won us the game last night. They shot way better than we did. They shot 2%, 1.6 percentage below what they should have. We shot 6 percentage points below our shot quality last night. It's one of our worst shooting nights of the year. We took 40% of our shots as threes. They took 33%. They took 20% of their shots as like long twos. We did a wonderful job of skewing their shot chart. And when you skew someone's shot chart, you win games. Like, that's the essence of where this all matters and how this all plays. Is I talk about it all the time, and this is why Rudy's the defensive player of the year. We're the only team in the NBA that is in the top five in defending the rim and top five defending threes. We forced the best shot chart in the league because of Rudy. Won us a game last night. We won by 2 points. That difference right there is a lot. You know, on 55% versus 50% QSQ on 90 shots is a ton. Right? That's a few points. 4.5, in fact. That wins us the game. That Rudy's presence just on where he's forcing shots wins games, and then they shoot 50% at the rim. Like, just give it to Rudy last night. He's just great. It's why, and the 31 minutes of no Boyan is a really big issue. That was not good last night. But it's why we actually have a chance. Like, you know, we're missing Boyan badly, and we match up against the Clippers. I kind of like us. Not like as though we're going to win that matchup, but just in at least a battle and give us a chance because they keep Rudy near the rim because Rudy's that great. That's what Rudy does. All right, 31 minutes without Bojan Bogdanović was a problem last night. George Niang played his regular 13 and wasn't great. He was 0 for 6 from the field, 0 for 3 from 3, minus 4. Clarkson jumped to 32. It wasn't great. Moutier's 10 was bad. Clarkson's third quarter is great. His first half was not. Tony's not at a stage, actually, where I think we can expect him to have solid stints both times. His second stint seemed fine. His first stint was not great. Like, that's the kind of the way I look at it with Tony is that, you know, so that his game's like 50, like you kind of have a 50-50 chance of what you're getting out of him at this stage of his career. But the other guys were great. Royce O'Neal, 35 minutes. Rudy, 34. Conley, 34. Ingles, 32. Mitchell, 36. I mean, and Clarkson, 32. I mean, that's what we're doing with Boyan's 31 minutes. Emmanuel's going to have to be better than he was last night because his first half stint was troublesome. But the rest of the guys were great. In fact, Rudy's plus 8. Conley's plus 12. Ingles, plus 11. Donovan was plus 7. And Donovan's being guarded by Drew Holiday, who is just a beast. Oh my gosh. You know, I had in the data, I think I shared it with you yesterday, he guards the number one usage guys, according to Basketball Index, second most of any player in the NBA behind Ben Simmons. Holy smokes, you can see why. His 6 turnovers offensively weren't great, but defensively, he just was taking the ball from people. I think he ended up with 3 steals. Obviously, Zion only playing 15 minutes is the big story out of it and what's happening there, and that's a big question mark for them they've got to figure out. But, and we've got to figure out what we're getting out of it. I mean, we need George is going to be better than he was. George isn't going to go for 6. He's a good shooter. It just didn't go for him last night. I thought he actually defended Zion fine. Zion's just so big and so strong and so great that there's nothing he can do about it. But we're going to have to figure that out. One note last night, just kind of very subtly, by the way, our offensive rebounding rate last night was pretty darn good. 29%. Theirs was 33. We knew that. They just fly in on the glass. It was crazy. But that was a little subtle thing we did last night, was hit the offensive glass with 12 offensive rebounds. Tony had three. George had two. Donovan had three. Rudy had two. Conley had one. Ingles. There seemed to be a larger concerted effort for us on the glass last night, which is interesting considering how much they run. So I thought that was an interesting kind of twist on last night's game. What else do I have? Oh, let's talk about the importance of our three pick and roll players and walk through the final 5 minutes as we continue. Today's show is brought to you by Homie. Homie's revolutionizing the real estate market by not just handing out commissions to real estate agents, but instead doing things on fixed rates and saving ton of money to everyone involved with Homie. There's a lack of knowledge necessarily on how everything works with real estate. In fact, Homie went and did a big research project, and you can check it out at homie.com/millennials. They went and researched 1,000 millennial Americans to ask them about real estate. Only 13% felt completely confident that they understand the process of buying or selling a home. 65% said they didn't know that the typical amount of commission paid when selling a home is 6%. In other words, $18,000 on a $300,000 home. And 82% were aware that in most states, a real estate license can be obtained with as little as 1.5 weeks of training. There's a bunch of news notes there. They've put together homie.com/millennials for you to learn more about that. The point is that Homie is selling homes faster than the market. They're selling them for more money than the market. And it's an opportunity for you, if you're looking to sell or buy a home, to end up in to save a bunch of money. Homie is averaging saving customers about $10,000 per exchange. That's kind of cool. $10,000. So text, go ahead and text LOCK to 88588. That's LOCK to 88588. And a Homie agent will help you every step of the way. All right, I want to walk through the final 5 minutes of the game because I thought this was just kind of the essence of who we were and what we did and shows you kind of what makes the Jazz unique. One, Rudy defensively, and then secondarily, the fact that we have multiple ball pick and roll ball handlers to make plays late in games changes everything. Because Drew Holiday last night was so great that there was very little we could do about it. So we're down in this game, and as we head to the 5 minute mark, and we have Conley, we have Donovan, and we have Ingles. And interestingly enough, they have not been very good in all three of them at the same time on the floor. So down 97-94, we run a Gobert Conley pick and roll, and it's not space great. Favors ties up Gobert a little bit, and then Royce comes from the far side on a tight curl. Conley with just a beautiful find, and Royce gets a layup. That right there is just a bona fide big-time Mike Conley play, knowing exactly what the Jazz offense is, how they want to run things, what they want to do. And Royce just showing his ability to cut out the ball, and frankly, Brandon Ingram standing up and missing it. Next play down, we're now down one. We run a high pick and roll. One of the reasons we ran our pick and rolls at higher levels last night was because you're trying to bring Favors up. Favors, as good as he is, isn't great if he's got to swivel or move or do some of those kind of things. And he's great if he's just back up. So you're running the pick and roll a bit higher. And here's where the multiple pick and roll ball handlers really matter. The Jazz were able to get Brandon Ingram on Donovan Mitchell. Drew Holiday's guarding Mike Conley this time. So instead of having Mike Conley try to deal with Drew Holiday, we run Donovan Mitchell guarded by Brandon Ingram. We run it high. He gets picked off. Donovan comes in, attacking Favors. Beautiful step through, hangs in the air, puts it off the window with a really nifty play, but Favors' defense was pretty inconsequential there. Just a really nice play by the Jazz, taking it, you know, heading down, going at Favors, understanding pure execution, having a game plan on how you attack them in the pick and roll, knowing exactly what it is you want to do to them, what their strengths and weaknesses are. Incredible scouting. I mean, literally what they're, you know, in that regard, when they're talking about those kind of plays. Next one is at 3:18. We run a beautiful inbound play. There's a double pick. Drew Holiday fights through both O'Neal and Gobert, and then in the left corner, Donovan catches and draws the foul and gets the three free throws. He hits two of the three. It's another beautiful Quinn Snyder out-of-bounds play. Quinn was just on it last night. Really couldn't have been much better in any of those out-of-bounds plays. And that one, again, just pure out-of-bounds execution, knowing who you are and what you're trying to do. This is just the theme of the final 5 minutes last night, is we know who we are. We're so beautifully prepared by Quinn and his staff. The players are so engaged into it, and they know what's going on. Let's go to 199. We're up by one now, 2:38 left. The play hasn't developed. We have seven on the shot clock. And what do? We go find Donovan Mitchell, now guarded by Lonzo Ball. Again, Drew Holiday's on Mike Conley. Multiple pick-and-roll ball handlers give us the ability to do this in a way that other teams don't have it. We can avoid the matchup that we don't want in this setup. And favors, the pick is set up high above the three-point line. So Lonzo Ball gets knocked off, going above it. Holiday is snuck into this play has to actually bump. He actually bumps Gobert. Conley's wide open for a three. Favors is back. Donovan works. They've got the lane clogged. There's 4.4 seconds on the shot clock. Maybe Donovan's right play is actually to throw it out to Mike. Rudy can't even get past the free throw line, and Donovan just pulls back for a jumper and hits it because he's great. But again, enough space so Donovan knew what to do, finding Lonzo Ball, who was just awful defensively all game, and absolutely having a game plan in who they are and what they want to do. Redick hits a three. It's 102-102 at this point. This is actually, we're not going to score on this one. This is Mike Conley misses a three, but it's a perfect play. Like a moment ago, I had just said to you, like they're sagging in so high on the pick and roll. Here again, we pick this up with about 12 on the shot clock. Drew Holiday is now switched over to Donovan Mitchell. So we now run a two-man game with Joe Ingles and Mike Conley on the right side with Gobert with the ball. Gobert hands the ball to Ingles. Ingram is guarding. We're now going after Ingram. We're going after Lonzo Ball. We're not going after Drew Holiday. Multiple pick-and-roll ball handlers making the difference. Ingles comes off a pick with Gobert. Gobert rolls. Lonzo Ball sucks all the way in. Ingles throws a great pass out to Mike Conley for three. By the way, Joe Ingles is fourth in the NBA at making passes this year to three-point shooters. Conley is just wide, takes a dribble to his right, wide open shot, missed it. It happens. I mean, he just missed it. You know, you're not making 100% of them. But it's a beautiful play, and it's the same concept of all the things that we're talking about here. The irony of this is that on what may be one of the bigger plays of the game, which is Holiday's actually guarding, ends up guarding Donovan on that final play to Rudy. I want to take one more here. So 102-102, 52.9 seconds left. This time, Drew Holiday ends up on Joe Ingles for whatever reason, in the midst of a play, because we've run a bunch of picks. So now Donovan brings it back out to the NBA logo and trying to bring J.J. Redick into the play to get him. Royce O'Neal sets a pick on Ingram. The Pelicans know they don't want that, so they get kind of caught in the middle of a switch. Donovan crosses over on Ingram in the lane, gets in and draws the foul. Donovan's just great. But again, knowledge of who you are, what matchups you want, getting the right matchup, absolutely fabulous. And then on the final play of the game, where Rudy ends up making the two free throws and a huge great pass by Donovan. Donovan actually, this is where you can do all the game planning you want, but every now and then you just have to be brilliant. Donovan, it's Drew Holiday, and there's 9 seconds left, and it's tied at 104, but you want Donovan the ball, and Drew Holiday makes unbelievable defense on Donovan, just about fouls him, and Donovan makes a better pass, and he just beat him one-on-one, and that's just being great. But we won that game last night because we know who we are. We have multiple options. We know how to use all of them and put it together. Pretty fun. I did Locked On NBA with Ben Golliver from the bubble, his reaction. So take a second and watch that or listen to that now. Right now, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On NBA. I'll be back with you Monday. We'll play on Saturday. Have a good one. Talk to you soon.